What's up, Dialed fam? Welcome to episode 176 of the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at dialedhealth.com, which is strength training for cyclists. And on today's episode, I'm going to tell you how to build a home gym, at least what to prioritize regarding equipment, things that you should buy first, in my opinion, and why, and also the long list of things that you could accumulate over the years, and currently what I have set up in my gym and why. But not before we go into an insane Dialed Fam member testimonial that'll get you guys fired up for 2024. Then we're going to move on to a member question about getting back pain during a back squat and what to do about it, or maybe even what's going on. I actually have two suggestions that I think could apply to just about anybody. And the craziest thing about one of them is that you wouldn't even be able to see it if you filmed it and basically saw that you had perfect form. This is something that you have to do, and it requires your breath. That's going to be a little bit of a hint for you. And I also want to give you guys an update on the Dialed Health Shred, how I've been doing so far, and also my riding plans for the next month, because new things are popping up on the calendar and I'm getting really excited about it. So if you're loving the podcast, please make sure you leave a rating and review. This is 5 stars on Apple or Spotify, and just write something simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just say you love the show and maybe something it's done for you. One sentence. Don't overthink it. I really appreciate you taking the time to make that happen. And you can also share it with a friend, text it to somebody if you're thinking about them while you're listening, or screenshot that you're listening to the episode and share it to your Instagram stories. Make sure you tag myself. It is at Dialed Health, and I'll make sure to have those links in the description for you. So without further ado, let's dive into this episode. This testimonial is from Zach Josie. He writes, I just wanted to reach out and let you know how your influence shaped the way I trained in 2023 and led me to easily my best year in triathlon. A little introduction. I have a unique form of dwarfism / skeletal dysplasia, and I race middle and long distance triathlon. I started Dialed Health officially in 2021, I think. Before that, I would follow along your Instagram tutorials and try the workouts on and off. 2021 to 2022, I put strength in my schedule, but always struggled to stay consistent due to a pretty physical job of laying concrete foundations. I rarely went more than 2 weeks staying consistent and would then not do any strength for months before starting it all over again. In 2023, I made the goal to do at least one kettlebell workout from the app each week, but then sprinkle in one day where I just did some mobility work plus a kettlebell flow from the app. I figured this way I would at least find it easier to consistently get strength even after a hard day's work. I recognized that following the full program as written would be even better, which is my 2024 goal, but I hope this was better than nothing. Things I noticed by making the small change. All three triathlon disciplines improved. I got faster at each single sport. Surprisingly, my arms fatigued a lot slower in the pool, and it was much easier to ride at a steady pace on the bike. But what I found to be even a bigger improvement was my bike-to-run performances. I have been able to hit power numbers I train at during racing, but all season I ran paces for the first time I knew I could run off the bike. Admittedly, I made some changes to my bike setup that made the riding experience more comfortable, but my extremely short limbs combined with super long torso doesn't make a bike fit very easy. However, I'm positive that the focus on just completing one strength workout and another maintenance day played a role in my legs, joints, and especially knees lasting long enough to perform at my best. My huge goal in 2023 was to be the first person with dwarfism / skeletal dysplasia to do a 70.3 distance race in 5 hours or less, and I believe just that slight change in strength training consistency, among other factors, played an important role in accomplishing it. Whether others like me are cyclists, triathletes, endurance athletes of any kind, or just an average person, I believe strength training would improve the quality of life so much. Mobility and fitness is often very challenging for people with any type of dwarfism and skeletal dysplasia, but I think your programs are so easy to follow that they could change a lot of lives. So thanks for the affordable, easy-to-use programs. I have high hopes that following a true 2 to 3 day-a-week strength program in 2024 will help me have an even better year than 2023. You're a family favorite social media follow. Thanks again. Zach, you're incredible. Thank you for following up with that testimonial. And I will leave your Instagram link in the description because I highly recommend anyone listening now to go and look at Zach's quads. This dude is literally Quadzilla. And it's so cool to see him pushing toward his goals despite all the friction that he has just from his genetics. So keep going, Zach. I'm really stoked to see what you're doing this year. And I want to encourage anybody that's had any type of testimonial from using the strength programs through Dialed Health to let me know. It doesn't have to be this lengthy or in detail, but any type of testimonial is honestly the fuel to my fire. And it really is going to help motivate others who are just starting the process or who need a reminder as to why they're doing it in the first place. Now let's talk about building up your home gym. The first thing I want to plug before we get into this conversation of all the equipment that I suggest in order of importance, I would recommend checking out the Garage Gym Reviews YouTube channel because it is so extensive regarding the equipment that's available and it compares a lot of different options. For example, like adjustable dumbbells. There's videos on which adjustable dumbbells this guy, his name's Coop, I think, prefers. And really likable dude, very trustworthy, very honest. He works with a lot of the brands that are in there, but he's always very transparent about what they're working together on. And his reviews are great. I could never go to this far in depth. And he compares the price, he compares the specs of equipment, and he has videos like that for everything you would ever want in a gym. I mean, if you are looking to build your own garage gym, I recommend the channel and I'll leave the link in the description. But even if you want to just see the options that are available, I also recommend it because it is just kind of fun. I have seen stuff on there, honestly, I've never even heard of. Now, as for my list, the first thing I would recommend, I'm actually going to clump them together, is a foam roller and a lacrosse ball. If you are a cyclist and you're riding your bike multiple days per week, maybe most days per week, you need to undo some of that damage. The activation work, the strength work is going to be so much more effective if you do it after some type of deep tissue work or even fascia work that you get on a foam roller. And there's so many other great things that happen, you know, whether it's the blood flow or whether it just helps you relax at the end of a day and helps you fall asleep a little bit easier. Getting in the routine of daily mobility is a habit I'd recommend for anyone. It's actually why I'm doing the daily mobility series under the workouts tab. The goal is to have options for you 7 days per week and then multiple options beyond that. So I would recommend a foam roller and a lacrosse ball. The foam roller would be the big option for covering larger areas, mostly working on fascia, which is that it's like the connective wrap around your muscles, essentially. It's almost like this net and you get these knots in the fascia that the foam roller really helps relieve. It also produces blood flow. You can use it for mobility and you can use it for some strength work and create a lot of leverage with the foam roller like we do in the 30-day beginner bodyweight program. So it's not just for rolling around on the ground. You can do a lot with a foam roller, which is why I love it so much. But also having a lacrosse ball is a nice combination because again, it's super affordable. It's easy to use and this will allow you to get into those deeper spots and really work on those trigger points and allow you to get things in a way that you can't really get with the foam roller either, from different angles, different positions. And again, if you have those like very specific nagging spots that you just need to sit on and breathe and let that sucker, let that knot, let that trigger point just release and dissipate, a lacrosse ball can be a really good tool for that. So I would do that before anything. If you're looking at an empty garage that you're going to set up or an empty room, it doesn't matter. Start with a foam roller and start with a lacrosse ball. Now, the next two things I would get, and this always surprises people because now we're talking strength, and a lot of people know that kettlebells are my favorite tool to work out with, which is very true. But in reality, the most practical thing that you could get for strength equipment would be adjustable dumbbells and an adjustable bench. Now, the adjustable dumbbells should go from 5 to 50 pounds. And an adjustable bench will give you so many different positions that you can work from. Now, if you have a flat bench, it is still extremely useful because obviously you can use it for things like bent rows, you can use it for things like bench press, but also step ups and plyo jumps and ab work and all sorts of stuff too. So when you have the combination of adjustable dumbbells and an adjustable bench, the variety of exercises that you can do is probably the highest variety opposed to any other thing. And I know right now you're thinking, oh, but kettlebells are so versatile, and they are, but if I really had to put together multiple programs, which I have, you know, we have a 3-month kettlebell program. We have a dumbbell bench only program. And so I have worked with all of these options and been limited in that way. And the variety you get from adjustable dumbbells and adjustable bench is, I think, the highest. And the return on your work. It's like the learning curve is a lot lower than kettlebells. You still have more movements you could probably do, and they're so effective and you can load them up. You know, you can grab two heavier dumbbells and get to work, and you can grab two lighter dumbbells and get to work. It's just simple and it's a really good way to go. So if you don't have adjustable dumbbells and an adjustable bench, I highly recommend getting it. In fact, if I were building out my own garage, this is what I would do. The reason I have full racks of dumbbells in my garage is because I had a commercial space where I trained people in person, and you need more than just adjustable dumbbells. So I brought those into my garage, and they're nice to have. They're fun. It's kind of a bonus, but they take up a lot of space. I'm not going to lie. And I probably wouldn't do it that way if I was just building out my garage for me. Now, the next things I would get, because again, of versatility, would be looped bands and mini looped bands. So the looped bands, my favorite ones are from Rogue, and I send this link all the time. It's to their Monster looped bands. It's literally just, it's a loop band. It's no handle. And the handle bands are good, but I find the loop bands even more versatile because not only can you use them for exercises like rows and presses and cable chops and all these types of things, or it'd be technically a band chop, but you can also use it for assistance on pull-ups. You can use it for stretching, and they're a little bit more versatile because of that. Now, the mini loop bands are going to be those bands you see people put around their ankles and do lateral walks. You could put them around your knees and do clamshells. You could put them around your wrist and do all sorts of rotator cuff activation. And these bands are, you can do a lot of hip flexor activation. These mini loop bands are also versatile and not quite as much, but I will say, because doing hip focused work is so essential for cyclists, they're one of those things that are very affordable, very easy to buy. You kind of have them laying around for a while. And even though they don't do quite as much as like an adjustable dumbbell, they still provide a movement that I would find very necessary for cyclists, or ideal. I think ideal is probably better than just saying necessary. So I would say Monster loop bands and mini loop bands from Rogue, very easy to buy combo packs of those. And again, you can use them for not only the actual workouts themselves, but for pull-up assistance. So of course, what is my next equipment going to be? It's a pull-up bar. Now, this is all before kettlebells, which those are coming up, but I will say a pull-up bar next is huge, because just hanging on a bar is so good for your spine and so good for your shoulders that it moves itself up the list. And the only reason it's not more toward the top is because of the versatility. I mean, there's not too many things you're going to do from a pull-up bar when you don't have a lot of stuff to attach to it. So having a pull-up bar to hang from, learning how to shoulder pack, using it for overhead mobility, and then the obvious one, pull-ups. When you have those looped bands with it, you can do assisted pull-ups, and then you can hit targeted rep ranges way more effectively. And the reason targeted rep ranges are important is because, you know, if you can't do 3 or 4 pull-ups, or if you can only do 3 or 4 pull-ups and you need to work up to 8 or so to get enough volume in to make the real strength gains, then you're going to need some assistance. You can do eccentric pull-ups. There are kind of ways to get around it, but the most ideal thing is going to be to using that band to basically unload some of your own body weight. So I'm going to run down the list before we move on to kettlebells. We have foam roller, lacrosse ball, adjustable dumbbells, and adjustable bench, looped bands, mini loop bands, and a pull-up bar. Now we're talking kettlebells. We haven't gone into the heavier strength equipment yet, but I really think kettlebells, we're at the point now where you're getting so much bang for your buck. There are things you can do with kettlebells that tie your whole body together that are unlike pretty much any other training tool out there. And you can still do a lot of the basic movements. I mean, you can use kettlebells kind of like dumbbells for a lot of movements. Rows, loading up lunges, goblet squats, presses, but even then the presses start to be a little bit different. And then when you turn the press into a snatch and a press, and then you add a windmill, and then you add, and if you're not familiar with the windmill, it's like doing a lateral hip hinge, like almost a deadlift hip hinge, but sort of to the side. The kettlebell stays overhead. You're hitting parts of your torso that you've never hit before, I promise you. And then you're returning it back to the top. You're getting a ton of shoulder stability. You're getting good mobility. And then maybe you're doing multiple rounds of that in a row, back to back and forth, insane muscular endurance. Again, your total body is working. And that's why I love kettlebells so much. And they're just so dang fun. They're so fun. And I would say for the amount of fun they are, the consequence I would say is relatively low, because typically kettlebell weights aren't as heavy. So you have to be careful with your shoulders, but this is nowhere near the potential risk of maybe even an Olympic lift or really even some power lifts for that matter. But that's why I love kettlebells. They're fun. They're versatile. The fitness you gain from them translates so well to the bike because they're very total body, like your bike rides. And so I would put those next on the list. Now, barbell. That's the next one. This is where it plays to your advantage to maybe have a full rack. I think we could probably lump that together. And this is a time where if you know you have more to invest into your gym and you look long term, if you're able to get a rack that includes a pull-up bar, then your bench is going to slide into it. You'll have your barbell. And now you, not only can you do squats, but you can also do bench press. And so having the barbell at this point is great because of progressive overload. You know, there's a point where you could get so fit with lightweight that everything turns into muscular endurance. And let me give you an example of what this means. Let's just say you get so fit with your own body weight that doing 20 push-ups now is completely easy. Doing 15 pull-ups is completely easy. And that's actually, I mean, pull-ups are the harder one. But there are people out there that are just well above 10 pull-ups comfortably, and they're getting to the point where they're out of even a hypertrophy zone, and basically the only stimulus they're getting there from their workouts is muscular endurance. Now, this can be really great, I would say, during the season to have lighter workouts, maybe higher reps, more total body. And if you're not going to a complete burnout like you would doing 1,000 walking lunges or something, which some people do, believe it or not, then it can be a really good stimulus. But there's a point where having the overload just from the weight is going to allow you to have more periodization in your program, work on max strength. That max strength will help you translate more into power, more muscle recruitment. It's probably a good idea to invest in some heavier weight at some point. So I think that's, again, not quote unquote necessary, but ideal would be to go to a barbell from there. Now, we have trap bar on the list down further, but we are going to go to another essential, which I actually just got a new one. It's a balance pad. These are such a game changer, not only for adding some instability to some of your exercises, but to use as a knee pad for kneeling exercises and stretching, like even a couch stretch with a balance pad, which is basically like, it's like a 3-inch foam high block that's probably, I don't know, a foot and a half wide and a foot long, or maybe either way, just like this little pad that you use to either stand on or to kneel on. And there's other things you can do with it as well, but it's just really nice. It's like really useful, and it's something that can translate into a lot of workouts. So this is a more affordable piece of equipment. It's small, it's easy to get. It's a little blue balance pad. I'm trying to think of the brand that I got recently, but if you type in balance fitness pad on Google, you'll find exactly what I'm talking about. Now, next piece of equipment would be a TRX. Now, this is a suspension trainer. There's multiple brands of suspension trainers. I've trained with some other ones that use pulleys and have a little bit more of a freewheel and are a little less stable than a TRX, but I've just found the simplicity of the TRX to work really well. If you can get the rubber handles on a TRX, that does make a difference over time. The foam ones will break down. And so a TRX hooks to your pull-up bar, hopefully that is, you know, above your head height. And if not, that's still okay if it's a little bit lower, but ideally you would have it fixed on a higher point. And now we're just opening up not only stretching opportunities, but so much variety of movement. And again, a really cool way to just spice up your training. And the best thing about a TRX is that you can travel with it so easily. In fact, this is my go-to for travel because they give you a doorstop attachment that you can put in any hotel door, really in any door. I mean, you got to make sure you're not going to pull that door off the wall. There are some plywood doors that are a little debatable. You'll see them flexing a little bit too much. But once you have the TRX, now you can do rows. You can do Bulgarian split squats with it. You can do push-ups. You can do all sorts of core work. And I mentioned stretching earlier, but one of my favorite upper body stretches, period, is a TRX chest stretch. When you have those handles in your hands and you're facing away from the mount and you walk away from where it's mounted, hands are up, extended almost like a cross, like a T, then you walk forward with your palms forward. The stretch you get in your chest and shoulders is insane. It feels so good. So I think a TRX is next on the list and maybe could be even higher because of the ease of travel. And if you are going to travel with a different piece of equipment besides a TRX, I think a looped band is probably your next go-to option. You know, I have a full program. The summer maintenance program is literally one 30-pound looped band, which if you look at the monster loop bands from Rogue, it's the small red band. The whole program's done with that. It's like amazing what you can do with these. And that's even smaller for you to travel with. So keep that in mind when you're kind of making these purchases, because it is going to be in your home, but also you have to think about real life and you being on the go and also making this a real priority, you know? So from there, we go into quite a few random things. There's tons of options. You have plyo boxes, which are great for plyometrics. They're also great for stretching. You have a trap bar, which can't say enough good things about. You know, it's less versatile than a barbell, which is why it's lower down the list. But a trap bar deadlift is probably my favorite heavy exercise to recommend for any cyclist. If you really want details on that, I actually cover it in the second podcast I did with Payson McKelvin on the Adventure Stash, which I'll make sure to link in the description. From there, you have medicine balls. You have a row machine. Here's what I'll say about a row machine. It's really, really nice to have when you use it. But I will say, unless it's in your warm-up every workout, it can go to waste a lot because, you know, we're doing our conditioning on the bike. And this is where like a lot of equipment comes in. Like, for instance, like a weighted vest or battle ropes or a sled. These are all really great things that I own. And I actually got rid of my sled, but I got rid of it because I was like, dude, when am I going to do like a bunch of sled pushes? Like, it's just going to destroy me from my rides. And it's still like high enough reps to where I'm not getting the effect of a trap bar deadlift, for example. So why am I doing this sled push? And there could be a time of year to do it, but it just becomes less useful. And like the row machine, again, great for a warm up. But if I'm doing my conditioning on the bike, do I really need a row machine for more than a warm up? I would say only if you can't ride as much as you want to or need to, for example. But if someone came to me and they're already riding like 4 days a week, I would probably not ever tell them to do more conditioning on the row machine. Now, with that said, we're putting together a 4 day a week program that does include things like row machines and assault bikes now for conditioning for people who truly don't ride as much as they want to, but they really consider themselves cyclists and want that to be their main focus as far as their fitness goes. They want everything they do to benefit their cycling, but they really just can't get on the bike for whatever reason as much. That's when it would come in handy. We're going to go to a landmine attachment. This is one of those basically 360 swivel mounts that you put at the bottom of a rig or on the ground in a weight plate. There's a lot of different options for the mount, but a landmine is super fun. Really different way to train with a barbell. Really fun to do presses with and all sorts of core movements, lower body movements. Then you have a Bosu ball. I think you guys all pretty much know what that is. It's like the little half dome bubble. They're usually blue. And Bosu, to my understanding, this could be just like a wives' tale, but I was told when I became a trainer that Bosu stands for both sides up. And so I never forgot that it was called a Bosu ball because of that, because you can use it both sides up. From there, you have a slant board. Knees over toes guy is going to be drilling this in your brain. The slant board is very much a fad right now in the sense that a lot of people are talking about it, but I think its benefits are legit. And so I've been experimenting with a slant board more so, but I've never used one consistently, just to be honest. But I do have one. I like it. And to be honest, the thing I'm using it for the most part is calf stretching, which I know people who religiously use slant boards would say no. But the thing about a slant board is that it puts, like if you're doing a squat on it, for example, with your heels that elevated, it puts so much focus on your quads. And again, most of the time we're doing leg movements and we want to develop our quads. We do, but we do so much of that on the bike. We want a lot of posterior chain. So it becomes less of a priority to spend a lot of time on a slant board, a little bit of time, but maybe not a lot. Then we have endo board, fun balance board. You have an anterior tibialis bar. I just actually got one, but I'm also finding that doing anterior tibialis raises, this is that muscle in the front of your shin, which really, really helps with knee pain, It can help with shin splints quite a bit. Like if you're experiencing shin splints anywhere, riding, running, just walking around, highly recommend foam rolling your calves and then strengthening your anterior tibialis. And this is just dorsiflexing your foot till you feel the burn in the front of your shin. They make products for this, but I got one recently and it's kind of hard to use, in my opinion, like hard to set up. And what I'll do instead is put 2 8-kilo kettlebells all over my toes, and then I'll just sit on a plyo box and like let myself do the raises with bent knees from there. And it's really easy to set up. So again, I don't have as much of a versatility with weight and progression, but I'm trying to figure that one. Then I just got a sledgehammer. Again, not as versatile as I hoped, but just a fun tool. And really the list goes on, you guys. I mean, go and check out that Garage Gym Reviews channel. You'll see it is endless what you can set up. But I think that you focusing on the things that are going to be the most versatile and the things that you're going to use the most are where to start. And then you buy the fun stuff from there. You know, I don't touch my soft med balls that much anymore, but when I had a gym in person, they were so good for the small group classes. And so anyways, there's things that you're going to use more often than others. You'll go through phases, you'll forget about exercises and you'll re-implement them. But with this list, which I will just leave this pasted in the description for you, hopefully you'll be on the right track and can better invest your money into it. And I guess the last thing I'll say about building out your home gym setup, it is like the most worthy investment, because not only is it for your fitness, but dude, this stuff lasts forever. I think the bands are the things that are going to wear out the fastest. But, you know, I had 4 years of a full-time clientele coming through my gym and using the equipment. And my dumbbells still look brand new. like, dude, they're rubber dumbbells. My benches still look brand new. And so keep that in mind. Like a lot of this stuff, if you buy quality stuff, and you know, I'm a big believer in the Rogue brand in general, just because like, I think they've got their shipping costs lower than anybody. And their stuff is like bulletproof. It's super overbuilt and it just lasts forever. So keep that in mind. I hope this helps. And I'm excited for you guys to start investing in that home gym. We're now moving on to member questions. This one is from Jacob Velasco, local ripper who's putting in like 30-hour training weeks. It's absolutely insane. Keeping up with the strength training. And I know right now he's using the off-season road program. And he's on to phase 3, which he has back squats on. And he sent me a message and he said, "It seems like whenever I back squat, I always make my lower back a little sore for a day. I feel like my form is pretty good. I'm making sure my back is neutral and I'm lifting using my glutes and legs. What do you think?" And so before I answer this question, I want to let you guys know there is a section on the website now where you can go and enter a podcast question specifically. Go to the community tab, scroll down to podcast, and you'll see exactly where I'm talking about. You can submit a question there for the podcast, which I'll reply it to you on the spot, but I will also let you know whether or not I'm going to use it for the podcast. Now, my question to him, the first thought was about core bracing, and then the next one was about the butt wink. We'll get to the butt wink in a second. Core bracing is one thing I want to bring up, because you can look like you're in the perfect position visually. You know, even me watching you as a coach, I could see, okay, he's doing the squat that he should be. Everything looks aligned. But if he's getting back pain, it could be because he's not bracing his core. And so when you have this barbell on your back and you're lowering and exhaling, you're pushing through your lower body through the ground, and all of that energy has to go up through your core. So even if your legs can handle it, even if your maybe your upper back can handle it, if your core is weak and everything around your low back is not braced properly, then you're going to be feeling it a lot. Now, here's how you core brace. And this is something I really want to do more content on, but the goal on the back squat specifically would be that you inhale at the top and you create inter-abdominal pressure. This means that you inhale and kind of push your belly. Like imagine you had a weight vest on or some kind of like wrap around your midsection. You would almost want to push into it with a little bit of force. So it's not just trying to make your stomach as big as possible and like bloating it out, but it's about inhaling deep, as low, bringing the air as low as possible into your stomach and kind of pushing out against your abdominal muscles. So from there, you're going to lower down and hold your breath. And it's not until the bottom where you start to contract and come back up that you're going to exhale and contract your abs at the same time all the way up. So what this does is it allows you to, for one, get full breaths in between reps. But you inhale, you create the abdominal pressure. This is a good core brace. You get to the bottom and you exhale and you actually contract your abs at that same time, even though you're not having as much inner abdominal pressure because you don't have the breath in your belly. You're going from that pressure to a ab contraction, essentially, which keeps your core strong for the entire movement. And so that's what I would recommend. Inhale at the top, hold on the way down, exhale at the bottom and contract your core tight, like someone's going to punch you in the gut on the way up. And then you can repeat the process at the top. So core bracing is something I would definitely look into. But the next thing is the butt wink. Now, this is where someone is actually squatting too low, and I'm doing air quotes with my hands, because their mobility doesn't allow them to hold a neutral spine at depth. Now, if you watch someone from the side, what it would look like is someone squatting down low, and then at the very bottom of their squat, their low back and their tailbone, or their butt basically, tucks underneath. So they get this like, it's like this tilt that basically makes their neutral spine go flat. And it's like this little bounce that you'll see at the bottom. And it's called the butt wink. It's like the butt kind of coming under and popping back up. And a lot of times this is created from tight hip flexors, which is really weird to think, but it's because of the way your hip flexor has to wrap around in the squat. It's like to stretch your hip flexor, you have to do like a kneeling hip stretch or like a couch stretch. So you're essentially squeezing your glute and pushing it forward, but that lengthens the tissue in your hip flexor enough to where when it goes backwards the opposite way, if you imagine that hip flexor kind of wrapping around, the lower you go, the more stretch and the more it has to open up. And so if you have tight hip flexors and there's not as much room for your femur to essentially go backwards and sink where your pelvis is sinking down, it's going to want to pull it forward. And that's what's happening with your hips because there's not enough like slack in the line for you to do a full range squat. And that's when someone could be squatting too low. Like if you had such tight hip flexors that you couldn't squat to 90 degrees even, which I would prefer getting your hip a little bit below your knees, just past 90, but if you couldn't get to 90 and you were butt winking, I would absolutely have you stop higher to save your back. Because no matter how braced your core is, the second you have load on your spine and you do that butt wink, it's going to pull on everything in your back because like it's pulling your hips forward. So keep that in mind. The butt wink is a real thing that's a little bit more obvious to see. And if you wanted to find out whether or not you were doing the butt wink, you would have a camera from the side angle of your squat, ideally at waist to chest height. If it's low enough, like if you just put your phone on the ground and film yourself from the side, you may not really be able to tell. So try and get it around chest height. That will be the easiest way to see if you have a butt wink. And you can always send it to me. It's an easy thing for me to notice and call out. But I think once you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you have any questions, feel free to send it over to me. So that would be the answer to Jacob, and hope that helps. All right, guys, last thing before we wrap it up, I wanted to give you a little shred update. It is the second week of the Dialed Health Shred, and it's been awesome to see people getting after it, tracking their food, and sort of the eye-opening experience that it is for everyone. I'm noticing those comments come through like, oh my gosh, like I had no idea I was eating so much protein. I had no idea I was eating so little protein. Oh, I didn't know that, you know, my macro percentages could change on a big ride day because I need more carbs to fuel it. And so there's all these little things kind of happening for people where they're realizing they were a little bit off and they didn't know until they tracked. And I always noticed that. In fact, I just ate an apple and one serving of these beautiful sea salt rosemary almonds. So good. And it's a beautiful, healthy snack, but also it screwed up my macros for the day because, dude, one serving of almonds has so much fat, at least when you're trying to be in a deficit. And today is a rest day for me. So I just don't have as much flexibility. And I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have. I know better, but it's just, you know, I wasn't even really thinking about it too much. And it wasn't until I tracked it and saw, wow, that really screwed up my fat numbers. So the thing I wanted to bring up with you guys today is that the travel last week actually kind of screwed me up more than I expected. I talked about going to the Endurance Exchange and tracked everything through, like going to the airport, travel, left myself a pretty good calorie budget coming into some of these dinners. But between the travel, like I literally traveled for 14 hours on the way home, worst flight booking ever on my part. But even with the limited amount of food, I don't know if it was the swelling. I don't know if it was me actually overeating a little bit, not getting in the bigger rides on the weekend, but I had all this progress in the first 5 days where I lost 4 pounds. And then my weight rocketed back up. Basically, I went down 5 pounds. I went up 4 pounds after the trip. And it took me till the end of last week to get my numbers back to where they were before that trip. And I kind of thought my scale was messed up, to be honest. I was like in denial of that. And I haven't been doing the most aggressive shred. There's been a couple of days where I've let my deficit come up to really close to maintenance, just because, to be honest, with the stuff I'm dealing with regarding work, riding, family, I told myself, dude, I'm not going to get hangry and turn into a zombie at night. So if I need to bring up my calories close to maintenance, I will. And if I'm not going to hit a 500 deficit, that's okay. And it's honestly, I think, been the best decision for me because even though that travel kind of screwed me up a little bit, I'm back down to 157 and my goal weight is 154. Dude, I started over 161, which, you know, New Year's, I kind of sensed it. I knew we were going to be going hard this month, but yeah, I was way too high to start. But still, my goal has been to see 154 and I'm back to 157. So with the next couple of weeks, upping some training volume, keeping the deficit reasonable, I should absolutely be there, which I'm really excited about. And not only that, but the dry January has been a really powerful, simple thing to follow as well. But I'm getting thirsty. I'm not going to lie. I've been craving like tequila or like a gin and tonic or just, I don't know, a little something, something. We're over 2 weeks in and I've reeled in my drinking a lot in the last year, especially after doing a podcast about it and understanding really how unhealthy alcohol is, but it really is something I enjoy. So I want to make sure when I bring that back that it doesn't come in overboard and obviously bump me back up to the point where I'm not maintaining my 155 is what, like my goal is to go down to 154 and then stick 155. Because I feel like if you have a goal weight in the process of being in a deficit, you got to push past it just a little bit because as soon as you carb back up or as soon as you have a little bit more relaxed approach or more calories, it's easy for the weight to jump back up. So anyways, that's kind of where I'm aiming at right now. I'll figure out the alcohol thing. I'm getting thirsty, but I'm also proud of myself for sticking to it. And also proud of myself for not being too much of a psycho, I think, this time around. You know, like so many of the habits I've built over the years of doing this have made it easier, I would say, because a lot of the habits have stuck. But I've also recognized like that there's other things going on that I want to make sure I'm there for. And being a zombie won't help either. Anyways, that's kind of some notes on the dial health shred. I'm planning a little mini training camp to really boost up some volume and to try and improve my fitness. I feel like I need it. I've never done a training camp before. And even just a couple back-to-back days of big riding, I think would help a lot. And I'm also getting some new stuff on the radar. There's a local gravel series called the Grasshopper Series that I've never done before. And I might pop out to it. It sounds kind of fun. I want to be in the scene. I want to be out there getting after it with everybody. So that could be coming up in a couple weeks. But the thing that's for sure planned on my calendar is the rock cobbler. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys out there. I'll be doing the Boulder Cobbler, which is the 120-mile race. And excited to see what that course is like because it's quote-unquote experimental is what they said. So hopefully with the training camp, I'll be coming in feeling ready. And I guess besides that, one thing I've been doing differently is a little bit more high intensity. I had someone kind of call me out on this on Strava, funny enough. And it really did make me realize, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been building a base and I've been sweet spotting for so freaking long that I have not spent as much time over threshold as I think I should have. And it's not necessarily bad because I feel like I have such a strong base. Like I can literally go ride for 24 hours, but I want to be faster. And the amount of like threshold and VO2 work I've done is pretty minimal compared to, I know a lot of the guys I'm racing. So I'm excited about incorporating that. Like it just feels like that thing I need right now. In my own riding. So we're going to be spending a little bit more time there. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Training update, Dialed Health Shred update. Good start to January. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. Really excited to get back to you guys Thursday with an interview for you. And looking forward to just other growth in the content, whether that's the newsletter or YouTube, continuing the flow on Instagram, different partnership opportunities that can get you guys involved. I'm really excited about it. So hope you guys are enjoying all of the content across the board. Make sure that you go to dialedhealth.com and get yourself a strength training membership today. Your membership gives you access to everything on the platform, all of the programs and all of the workouts for less than $20 a month. So thank you for the support and we'll see you guys Thursday. Until then, start moving forward.